It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I am happy with Brock Purdy.
It's great to hear, Bonte. Spadoni in for Bonte, alongside the great, the noble, the sometimes insufferable, but we love him, Joe Shasky, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's the morning roast, and good morning to all of you just getting off work, getting ready for it, getting ready for school, getting ready for, you know what, for me, I'm getting ready for vacation, brother. Go golfing after today. I'm just so excited. You got Evan Giddings the next 2 days. But for today, Joe Shasky, you know, we had a great conversation yesterday in regards to the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, the five burning questions for 49ers fans heading into the season. We had Brian Baldinger on yesterday, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Baldy was great. You can find that entire interview on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube, where we are streaming each and every day, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And for a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. But Baldy, you know, he broke it down as best as he can. You know, the most important player, when he hears Kyle Shanahan, what he's like, all that sort of stuff. But the conversation turned into something about the head coach of the 49ers. Not the quarterback, not the tight end, not Brandon Ayuk. It was about the head coach. Something about Kyle Shanahan is just so damn polarizing to this region, to this fan base. And we have managers here in the past, whether it's Bruce Bochy, polarizing, I don't know if I would use that word for Boch, respectable, everyone loves the guy, and because he was just so Teflon in those World Series runs, everything he touched turned to gold, I just don't think you can ever, like, harp on him, ever, and what he just did in Texas, absolutely you can't anymore. He's a Hall of Famer. Steve Kerr, though, I go to him, Joe Shasky, and trust me, I'll let you hop in here for a second. Steve Kerr has won 4 championships. He has won an Olympic gold medal now. He had everyone in the entire state of Massachusetts dogging him the last month at the Paris Olympics because he wasn't playing Jason Tatum, who just won an NBA championship. He gets more hate and more ridicule sometimes, and maybe even Kyle Shanahan. And the guy is one of the most accomplished coaches in the history of the sport, might be top 5 in the history of the sport when it's all said and done. So I say all that to say, Joe Shasky, what is it about head coaches that drive us nuts here in the Bay Area? What is it?
I just think that we're easy to criticize. I think we all want to play armchair quarterback, right? Like, we all get that. And in this region, you have had some pretty brilliant managers preceding some of these other guys. Like, look at baseball, for example, right? The older crowd, they had Dick Allen. They had Tony La Russa. They had Roger Craig, Dusty Baker. I mean, none of them has the resume. I mean, LaRusso's close. I mean, he's really close. Bruce Bochy currently. But think about those. I mean, those, that's a who's who of guys. There was a point in time, you know, Dusty was beloved. Tony La Russa was modernizing the game of baseball, right? I look at basketball. Don Nelson, for all of his warts, was a mad genius. And we would criticize him, but there was also this caveat of, oh, he's never had any of the greatest players. Look what he's doing. He's making chicken soup out of pork bones, you know? And I know, I'm just throwing analogies
not
out there.
Bad. I'll give you a 2 for that one.
And then you got John Madden and Bill Walsh,
yeah,
right?
And Tom Flores, too.
I was just going to get to Tom Flores, yeah, right? And so not only are they innovators, not only are they trendsetters. I mean, you're talking about guys that are evolutionary steps forward in how we view coaching. So I also think this is the modernization of being a spoiled fan base. And I think that this happens. And when you have a 24/7 news cycle and multiple radio stations, multiple YouTube channels dedicated to just talking about one particular team, I think you can get into the echo chamber of everyone sucks. This move needs to be criticized. When in reality, we don't put enough stock into the actual players underperforming and overperforming.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. You know the number, 888-957-9570. You can call or text the Xfinity Mobile text line. Shout out to Ken in the back. Shout out to Carter in the back, holding it down in absence of Sam Lubin. And also the great Matt Nahegan, who's getting here. This is the earliest he's ever been here. Matt Nahegan all week has been here like at 5:30 in the morning, Joe Shask. He's crushing it. And he actually is slicing and dicing a compilation for us of all the listeners. And we'll play it a little bit later into the show. We had like 20 or 30 callers just in a row yesterday, just giving their thoughts. When you hear the name Kyle Shanahan, you say this. And it was fascinating, the diversity of what they said, because everything else was pretty positive about the team. It's like, oh, the Niners aren't going to go far unless if they beat themselves. Oh, Brock Purdy, he's the face of the franchise. Christian McCaffrey is amazing, all this sort of stuff. But when you get to Kyle Shanahan, just something's different. And I just think it's so fascinating when we're heading into this season, the head coach who has taken you to two Super Bowls, who's come up just short, is still trying to win over a good portion of that fan base. And maybe, you know what? You know, we were on Twitter all the time, we're on social. I don't think it's quite representative of the entire fan base. I want to be clear on that, because I do think we are in an age where just because we see it everywhere doesn't mean that's the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, the loud minority.
Correct.
They get louder and louder.
And you can see that in politics too, absolutely, right? You see the same thing with it doesn't matter. You just pick whatever subject and you see it on social media, chances are that's not going to be the overwhelming sentiment.
Think about this. Like, forget politics. Think about your one friend who's got the Android. Aren't they always the loudest? Right? Everybody's got the iPhone. The one friend has the Android. Is that person not the most defiant and the most loud?
Well, I mean, it's...
Does that represent the group?
If we're doing the 95.7 The Game fantasy football thread, too, I don't think we're doing it right now because... There is one Android user, and his name is, his initials are DD, and he may be a host at the station. And
Is he an Android user?
Oh, yeah, big
time.
That
speaks volumes.
Big time. He does not want you to, he thinks we're in a cult with all these Apple iPhones, stuff like that.
Oh, Dan thinks we're in a cult.
Dan. Well, I said DD. Yeah, you can go by Dan if you want.
Oh, there interesting. We're in a cult.
We're in a cult.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Well, we are in a cult in a way that we're fanatics about football and our teams and stuff like that. But when it comes
see
to...
See what I'm saying? Wait, I got to stop
what,
on this.
What?
Like, there's always that one guy. So my cousin, JP
The green
Mike.
Text is the worst. No, if we're talking about things that bother us, the green text, first and foremost, is the absolute worst.
Look, I understand on some level questioning authority, being a nonconformist. I appreciate it. Those types of people in society plow us forward.
Are you like a goth kid from South Park? You being a nonconformist?
Yeah, exactly. But that's how we plow forward, right? That's how we break through it and create innovation. But the Android diehard, die on the hill guy, you just stop. You've lost the war, my friend.
I think I had like the very first Android when it came out and it had like the keyboard with it, but with the touchscreen. I thought it was so cool. And then I realized it was just a massive brick in my pocket. And I was like, this sucks. And then just the interface, everything's just so much easier with Apple and stuff like that. That's fine if you want to be different. That's cool. Hey, text in and call in with it. 888-957-9570, Xfinity Mobile text line. I don't care. Do you. But don't you dare join a 10-person group chat with a green text. Because not only can I not like something, or if I do like it, I'm going to get responded with a bunch of other Joe Shasky like this, Carter like this, Ken hearted this,
it's
Matt Nahegan exclaimed this. I don't need that in my life, brother. I'm sorry. I don't.
And it's like, the thing is like, okay, for example, I think that everybody rocking Jordans now, it's a little okay, we get it. Everybody likes Jordans. But I'm not mad at anybody. Like, if I see somebody wearing some sweet Jordans, I'm like, good for you.
No, it's starting to balance out now. Speaking of balance, I see a lot of New Balances now because you got, the Jack Harlows, you got Kawhi. A Cooper Flagg now apparently signed with New Balance. That's actually kind of big for them.
Ohtani.
But I always associate New Balance still, and I don't care. Yeah, Ohtani, it's a nerd shoe. It's a dad shoe. It's a nerd. Like, that's Pete Carroll status. I know he rocks the Air Monarchs, but that's, come on.
But again, I'm not sitting here hating you're part of the Jordan cult. It's you Android users, get off your high horse. That's all I'm saying.
That is. I hope Dan Dibley's listening at 888-957-9570. And also the free Odyssey app. Download that and thousands of other stations right there. And don't forget, you're going to hear from Dan Dibley talking with, maybe Joe Shasky brings us up at the Red and Gold Summit. Join us Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank in Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard and Dibs will get things started. from 2 to 4, and the rest of the hosts, Joe Shasky, Bonta Hill, Steiny, and Goo, from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storyline surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. You can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve.
So here's like, you're talking about coaching and why we're so critical. I just think that, I truly believe this. The modern fan is the most educated they've ever been throughout the history of sports right now. And as time goes forward, I truly believe that you're just going to get more and more educated. The broadcasts do a great job of integrating the audience to the new rules and new formations and things like that. Video games, you know, you have more insight from players and ex-players than ever before. I just feel like the common knowledge of the sports fan is at an all-time high. And it's only going to get, you know, more. It's going to get more in-depth. Yeah. And so I do believe that that leads people to second-guessing every single trick, because they know more, right? Mm-hmm. And look, these are conversations that are being had in dugouts, on sidelines, in war rooms, if you will. I don't love that term, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Like in clubhouses, in front offices. So I look at someone like Bob Melvin right now.
That's a great.
Yep. Okay. And I want to bring Bob Melvin up just for a second. So I don't know if Bob Melvin's any good. I'm talking about with the Giants. I don't know about what's happened before. I've watched from afar. I've heard different fan bases. I think I could pick apart a lot of his decisions regarding bullpen arms, but I think I could do that for a lot of managers. And if I gave, let's just say, Bruce Bochy this exact same team, right, with the exact same variables and everything being the way it is, maybe they're a couple games better. Maybe. Maybe they're a couple games worse. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Does he inspire confidence in me? Not really. Not really. Do I want to run him out of town? Not really. Do I want to pick apart every single decision? No. Have I agreed with everything? No. But, like, at the end of the day, this team is where they're at because they're not very good. Mm. Right? And so I don't even think having the whoever you think is the greatest baseball manager of all time, I don't think it's doing a whole lot. Just like when Shanahan took over the Niners, like, he's the same, similar coach. Yeah, I think he's gotten better at certain things. Mm-hmm. They were an expansion team. They had one guy that was a carryover who was a promising young player in DeForest Buckner. They had Jimmy Ward, who didn't know what position he was, and Eric Armstead, who didn't know what position he was. He has molded this roster into a powerhouse. And if I take those first 2 years out, where, again, they were basically an expansion franchise, he's been 54-29. He's been wildly successful. Now, in football, I believe X's and O's, coaches have way more of an imprint on the play of the game. Now, it's still up to guys to execute and all that. I think Kyle's really good. Yeah. I think he's really good.
He's great. He is great.
Is he flawless? No. I think it'd be really difficult to find an upgrade for him. Almost impossible to find an upgrade from him. Are there a guy here, a guy there throughout the league that I might consider swapping him out for? Maybe.
Who?
I don't know. Maybe Andy Reid.
Maybe.
Right? But he's older. Right? He also has
Patrick Mahomes. So it's like he's graded on a curve still, even to them, because he has the greatest quarterback potentially of all time.
Like if Andy inherited the roster that the Niners, and he had a bad roster in Kansas City, but let's say he inherited Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if he can make Jimmy infinitely better than what Kyle did. Kyle did a pretty good job with Jimmy Garoppolo in retrospect.
He did max out Alex Smith. I mean, that was pretty incredible.
No doubt. Yeah. But I think Alex was actually less risk averse than Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, like Alex held on to the ball better, which is a wild statement.
He also had an entire season where he didn't throw a touchdown to a receiver.
Which speaks to the brilliance of Andy Reid of
incredible.
Working around that. But like, you know, like Sean McVay. Like Sean McVay has lost his quarterback a couple of times. Well, when Kyle lost his quarterback, he found his way to get into the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had an unbelievable roster. Things were different. When they lost Stafford, they went right down into the tank, you know, for that year. So, you know, we'll see. You know, time will tell. But I think Kyle's really good. I also think when you lose, you become a lightning rod for criticism.
888-957-9570. I like that. Give me one coach in the NFL that you would take over Kyle Shanahan right now. And I'm not going to give you Andy Reid. Andy Reid's exempt. The Chiefs are exempt. Give me one coach in the NFL that you would take over Kyle Shanahan right now. 888-957-9570. We had a guy yesterday. I think it was Rodney. He was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's like, yeah, I'll take Mike Tomlin over him. And me, I was like, Mike Tomlin?
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
I know he won like 20 years ago.
I have respect for him, but I'm not taking him.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, like Steve Kerr. You look at it like Steve Kerr. Do I think Steve Kerr is great with in-game lineups? No, actually, I don't. I don't think that's one of his strengths. I think he has a ton of other strengths,
yes.
And there's a lot of stuff that is unquantifiable on game day for the average fan, because you're just looking at box scores and lineups and things like that. I know he brings much more to the table. Kyle Shanahan, outside of play calling, I actually think brings a lot more to the table than people give him credit for. I think we only think of him as an X's and O's guy and as a play caller guy, and I actually believe we underrate the intangible qualities he brings to the table.
You know what's funny? I bet if you polled people right now, and I get it, they're not the political stuff with Steve Kerr because he's speaking at the DNC. Just remove that from your brains. But if you polled people in the Bay Area right now, who's a better coach at their respective sport, Steve Kerr in basketball or Kyle Shanahan in football? I think a lot more people would be picking Kyle Shanahan.
You think?
I actually kind of do. Steve Kerr's Q rating right now, given what it's really not great.
That's interesting.
It's been, like, for as
That's
much
interesting.
They just lost the Super Bowl, right? Kyle Shanahan. Like, they were so close. They went to overtime, they lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that kind of makes sense, just given where the two teams are at. The Warriors just got bounced in a play-in game against the Kings, who didn't have one of their best players, Malik Monk. Like, I'd be curious at 888-957-9570, like, who are you taking right now in their respective sport?
Gosh, that's a great question.
Steve Kerr or Kyle Shanahan?
Well,
I do think if you do nationally, I think a lot of people think Steve Kerr is a product of Stephen Curry and having Draymond Green and all that sort of, which I think is kind of ludicrous, like, because we consider Phil Jackson the greatest head coach of all time, right, in basketball?
Yeah.
All he had was Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Dennis Rodman.
But I also think he was a great coach.
He was. But,
and he understood how to tap into people. Like I agree with you. He had unbelievable rosters.
Steve Kerr's a great coach, too.
No, like, but he's on a short list.
Yes.
But we act like he's a bum, which he's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's not a bum. But so let me ask you this. Phil Jackson takes over last year's Warriors. What are the results?
Oh, boy. That's...
I think they're in about the same spot.
Probably. That's an interesting one, because how would Phil and Draymond get... I think...
How about Phil and Kuminga?
I don't think Draymond respects Steve Kerr. I don't
really
think he respects him to the level that he would potentially of Phil Jackson. Like Phil Jackson and Dennis Rodman. Phil knew when to let Dennis be Dennis a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that helps Dennis in the long run build faith and trust within his coaching staff and within his players. I do think that there is some sort of a strained relationship with Steve Kerr and Draymond Green.
That's interesting.
I actually
think Steve, for the most part, navigates the Draymond stuff. I've had a lot of issues with the organization as a whole. I'm not
the
here to
handling
cape up
of the
for
punch and stuff
but
like that.
What other coaches are dealing with him and getting the productivity from? I think a lot of coaches be like, I'm done.
I think just Draymond just runs rampant in that organization. I think he just whatever he says goes and stuff like that. But we don't want to get into that.
That's a great question. Who is better at what they do?
Right? Is it Steve Kerr in basketball, or is it Kyle Shanahan in football? Who's a better coach in their given
sport? I feel
like
I'm disrespecting one by taking the other.
But I think it just goes to show, like, championships don't always mean everything for
some
people.
No, that's true.
Like, just because you win four titles, like, God, it's so hard to win in the sport of football. It is so hard. Not saying it's easy in basketball. I'm not saying that at all. But when you generally have the best players in basketball, you're going to get at least to the playoffs or to the finals. And for the most part in Steve Kerr's career, he had like four Hall of Famers, if you want to put Iguodala in there as well. Like Clay, Dre, Steph, and Iguodala. Like, it's pretty good. But at the same time, hey, you could have the dream team, right, with Andy Reid and have all these sexy names and players and then go 4-12 or whatever.
I mean, like, Belichick, we all think Belichick knows what he's doing, right? What did Belichick do once Brady left?
Well, didn't they go to the playoffs 1 year with Mac Jones and then just got...
Caved in.
Yeah.
It caved in.
Well, after Josh McDaniels, for sure, then it was over.
I mean, I look at that roster, just in terms of roster, what he left was probably the worst personnel in the NFL.
Oh, I feel like sorry if Drake May has to start this year. Like, he's going to get battered and bruised and broken. Throw Jacoby Brissett in there. If I'm them, absolutely. Gerard Mayo & Co. 888-957-9570. I want to pick up this conversation. Plus, you mentioned the Giants. They get the win over the Milwaukee Brewers. And as you know, Joe Shasky, it's actually pronounced Milwaukee, which is, of course, Algonquin for the good land. So 67-66, the Giants improve. Camilo Doval, old friend Camilo Doval, gets the win. Ryan Walker gets the save as they pick up Logan Webb, who didn't have his best start. That's okay. They get the win nonetheless.